20 minutes till 5 o'clock back on Downtown. Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us, and he was uncertain at first if this was the song he wanted.
Here's the thing about me. No matter who in my life confuses me, no one could confuse me more than myself. I am really skillful at it. For those of you who don't know, like for a while, I was we were playing as an intro my acoustic version of the song Crossroads, and I was like, we gotta change it up. I want to do some new things, and so I always send Rich my choice of song for the day. And you know, we've had some strange things, some odd, weird Icelandic metal, you know, ballads and other weird things. And yeah, I remember today I was thinking. So today we're talking about. We're starting a new month. We're talking about, you know, wine, agriculture, purity in wine, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the wine we're going to be sampling tonight is Ritual Chardonnay from Chile. And talking about the life cycle of wine, one of my original choices was Birth Ritual from Soundgarden. If anybody's familiar with the single soundtrack, it is on that. If you're not familiar with the single soundtrack, I highly recommend it. And you're clearly not my age.
I'm not your age, but I'm okay. But single
I'm just saying, there's about 2 or 3 years of you know when you were born that you were like literally field issued this thing. Like this is your guide to angst and growing up awkwardly in whatever urban setting you choose to. And then it occurred to me that that's a really really long intro, and I didn't know like without any actual music. Cool, but I would be remiss if I didn't start my segment with the following statement, that I would like to personally congratulate and thank all the Napa wine growers and the great state of Washington that they represent. If anybody doesn't get that, think it over. All right, so the Chiefs are our champions. I called 13, I got 11, I did pretty well. I was a little worried there early on. When it was, I joked to my friend, I'm like, I bet it's going to be like a 3-7 game. And then it started to be.
Oh.
So I'm sorry if anybody was worried about that, but I hope you're all good. I hope everybody out there survived another Patriots-less Super Bowl, although it was not without its share of Patriot controversy.
Exactly.
So well done.
Right.
They worked Patriot controversy into a Patriots-less game. Yes. I love this place.
How was the father-daughter dance?
It was the same. But grab me.
Patriots free?
No. Patriots free, right?
Or did Gronk show up?
That would have been he would have been sad Gronk. Like, that man literally just put on, like, one of the hugest beach parties of all time. He even got Bill Belichick to go. By the way, if anybody's wondering, that's exactly what I would look like if I went to any beach party, too. Like, don't blame Bill.
No.
Most of us who can't hang, all right? This was like sad DJ. Like, he, you know, half the time, like, he couldn't figure out to get off his, like, desktop and trying. It was, but I figured it out. Now God bless her. Now she wants to go out to a nice restaurant. So we go out to a nice restaurant. We hang out. We talk. I even told her this time, I'm like, listen, honey, we're drawing this part out because I miss you. I want to do fatherly things with you. And let's be honest, as soon as you get there, you're going to run off. And lo, she did. She's like, so we got the picture done. We good here? Meet you back here around closing time. Right. Although I got two dances.
Very nice.
Yeah, she sought me out for the first one,
aww,
which was and you know, again, I made fun of this in my newsletter and to my wife. I'm like, there's these like stock issue country songs that they play at these, and they're all exactly the same. It's like, pick three moments in your daughter's life. We're going to sing about it, and you're going to be bawling by the end, even though it's not a great song, but like you're dancing with your little girl. And yeah, it's like, ugh. So both of the dances were those. And you're looking around, you're like, don't cry. Don't cry. Smile and pretend you're awesome. But it's very cool. Like, I guess it didn't exist when my wife was a kid here in Bangor. So it's nice that it's happened.
Well, yeah.
As an old jaded crusty man, it's also very nice that like you see like kids still loving to be kids.
Yes.
You know, that's like really cool. Everybody always asks me around Christmas, like, do your kids still believe in Santa? Or do your kids still believe in the Easter Bunny? I'm like, yeah, man, my like daughter still believes in like princesses and stuff. Like, it's like, it's a beautiful thing. You know, if your kids are too jaded at that age, like, yeesh, sorry.
Our level of father-son bonding this weekend was, for some reason, he must have seen it before, but perhaps never with me sitting with him, the new Geico spots with the woodchucks.
Oh,
struck my son as the funniest thing ever. And we spent, I would say, the next 12 hours every time we would see each other going, "Hey, woodchuck, quit chucking my wood."
That's
and
awesome.
Then laughing hysterically, it's like it was the funniest thing ever.
It actually is one of the funniest things ever. I
he showed up in our bedroom yesterday at
that's
6
awesome.
a.m. "Hey, woodchuck, quit chucking my wood."
As we extend this non sequitur, I really will get to wine. But the funniest thing is there's an article today about how it's been 20 years since the Aflac duck first showed up.
Oh.
And how it's changed all, because every insurance advertising these days is, it's jokes. It's not, right. Has nothing to, it's just who can make you laugh or irritate you in the case of Progressive fastest. And it's really quite impressive. All right. Wine agriculture. So this is kind of interesting, right? Folks have heard me. In fact, I believe just last week I referenced this woman, Jancis Robinson. She's a master of wine, and she is one of the best-selling authors. She was the one who, with Hugh Johnson, I can't even think these days, does the Wine Atlas. So she just released her wine resolutions, and it kind of ties into what I wanted to talk about today. So this is her wine resolutions for the new year. It says, try and stamp out the term natural wine, and also be more aware of true sustainability. So these are kind of tied together, and it'll kind of get into what I'm going to talk about today. And what she says is basically, and I like this, the most unfortunate thing about the natural wine movement is the name suggests that any other wine is unnatural. I rather like the term I came across recently in Australia, lo-fi winemaking. And that's kind of, we've talked a lot about that, like this concept of you're really not going to perfect nature. You just need to perfect what you do around nature and with nature. Because the grapes, you didn't come up with those. You know, Mother Nature came up with those. The process of yeast turning sugars into alcohol and carbon, it's not you. that already happens. So that's, you know, that's very cool. And it really, and then also, you know, be more aware of true sustainability. She says today, it's today's buzzword. And of course we've said that too. And she says, so in wine, we tend to focus on transition to organic and biodynamic viticulture, but we need to be much, much more holistic, right? A word that I've used all the time on this program and in my store. It's awareness of literally everything, water, especially. And, before we get, into the life cycle, this is incredibly important because, as you all no doubt aware, and I'm, you know, this is not being political, this is just talking about nature. There have been a number of rollbacks recently on protections federally for watersheds and things like that. Water is life. It's not just wine, it's life. And so, when we're talking about the life cycle of wine, think about the water that's going into your body and into your wine, into your grapes and things like that. Okay, life cycle of wine. And these are my notes, but this is obviously falling hard on Jancis Robinson's things. People talk a lot about purity, you know, but where you find it and where you don't might surprise you, right? So let's talk about what grapevines are, right? Grapevines are perennials. They die off in the winter and rebloom every year, right? And they're remarkably hardy. They can go through some really, really rough stuff when they're dormant. and so let's talk about that. And grapevines on their own, right, without human interaction, they grow into big bushy plants. And what we've done is we've learned over the years to tame them, right, by pruning them, training them to achieve maximum yield. Or the yields we want, right? Maybe a lot of people don't want maximum yield, but they want to concentrate the energies of the vines. But that's things that we've learned to do, because if we didn't, they just kind of shoot all their energy into growing. The life cycle. So right now we're here in sort of a very typically atypical January, early February thaw in Maine. And it's, you know, it's warm-ish, but it's still winter. And so these are things we're all sorts of thinking about as we're starting to choose our seeds and what we're going to plant up here for the, you know, for the coming warm season and what we're going to do. So right now, all of the plants that we have, you know, planted that are perennials, including me, I have, you know, hops and grapevines in my property. Right now they're in dormancy. And so what you do right now is people are going out and they're pruning. They're doing what they call the winter pruning, and they choose the best stems that are eventually going to sprout and grow grapes. And so now's the time to do it. You know, all the ground cover is pretty much out there, and you can just kind of look at it and say, okay, I think for this season, you know, this arm of the vine and this arm of the vine are going to do the best for us. And what comes next is really, and this is sort of relevant to what's going on right now, next, once things start to, the vines start to shoot out and show little buds, you're going to have what we call bud break. And that is time, especially up here in this land of eternal, is it 32 degrees? Is it 33 degrees? Is it 29 degrees? It's a very, very dangerous time for freezing, and that can really, really hurt your eventual yield several months hence. So that's coming up not too long for most of the major wine growing regions. Obviously up here in Maine, it's colder, the season is shorter, but a lot of folks right now are thinking towards that time. And eventually you're going to see tendrils and tiny, tiny, tiny little grapes growing. And they're, you know, anybody who loves your baby Yoda, right? They're it's absolutely adorable. It's literally like baby Yoda grapes. I mean, they kind of look like little green. I don't know what race Yoda is. I don't think anybody does yet. I think that's sort of the secret of Mandalorian season two. I don't know. I've only watched four episodes. But I'll get there. I'll get there. And then starts to happen is you think about leaf management and the canopy management, right? Because the thing that vines also grow beyond grapes is leaves. And the leaves are very important, but they also can sometimes cover too much the grapes themselves, or perhaps you want them to cover the grapes. If you're in a particularly hot area, you design your canopy to shade as well as absorb energy from the sun, right? So that's a very, very important time where you're like, okay, how are we going to, and it depends where you are and what your growing season is typically like and what your farmer's almanac tells you it's going to be like. I mean, it's a guessing game. This is all really a guessing game. It's high stakes gambling for a lot of these farmers who really can't afford to mess up. And then obviously you start to see flowering, which is absolutely beautiful. I mean, if anybody's seen, you know, some of these really beautiful wine regions in flowering season, I mean, it's just one of the most beautiful things in the world. And then you start to, these tiny little Yoda grapes have been growing and growing, and then you come to the time where they're basically fully shaped, but they're all still green. And you go through a time that we call, it's a French term, shocking, right? Veraison, which means sort of, I'm going to steal my friend Stephen Colbert's truthiness, right? Veraison, verite, right? The truth. This is when red grapes become red, slightly gray grapes become gray, orange grapes become orange, green grapes still stay green, but they plump up and they take on a different hue. Veraison. That is, again, typically for us here, maybe July into August, but it, you know, June for more major wine growing regions. And that is when you're starting to look into the ripeness of the grape. When are you going to pick that grape? Because it's basically now fully formed, right? You can think it like, hey, you know, it went through puberty, right? Like now it's a man or a woman or whatever. You know, it's like it's ready. But when is it ready for you? What are you looking for? It's the ratio of the liquids to the solids, the majority of which of the solids are sugars, but there are other solids as well. And that is what we know as Brix, B-R-I-X, the ratio of the sugars to the solids. I'm sorry, the waters to the sugars. And that's when you know, okay, if I pick it now and I crush it and ferment out all the sugar, we should theoretically achieve an alcohol alcohol percentage of X. And from then on, you pick, you or harvest, pick. Well, they're both true. And then you crush and you ferment and you mature and you bottle and you age and then the wine travels and then you drink it. And we're going to cover all that over the next year. But I just wanted to kind of go through the life cycle of that, the vine and the grape before it gets picked, because it's an important thing, and it's something that you yourself can experience. It's not like you're going to be growing award-winning Cabernet Sauvignon. You might have to wait 5 or 10 years, depending on climate change. But for right now, go out all these places, you know, the local, anywhere that sells plants. A lot of them sell grapevines, you know, hybrids, the Cayuga grape, things like that. Plant them if you got a little corner and see what happens. It's fun. It is fun, you know. And plus, grapevines are absolutely beautiful if you trellis them and things like that. So just something to think about for fun. I'm running out of time. I want to talk about a couple of events that are coming up at the store. I also will remind you, by the way, we are drinking Ritual Chardonnay right now, which is absolutely delicious from Chile. Our wine of the week is the Freddie Nerks Rosso. And if you go online, I'm starting to do videos on all of our wine of the week so you can get my personalized sort of review and take on it. You can find that on Facebook, on YouTube, and other formats. And we are having two tastings this month. On Friday the 13th, we are having Thursday the 13th. My apologies. Thursday the 13th, we're having a Galentine's Day tasting. So we're going to be tasting some really lovely German wines that are range from sweet to dry to sparkling. Really, really excellent. And just some of my favorite wines on earth. So I figured, hey, let's do that. And my wife, who is now doing Color Street Nails, will have her Color Street Nails. And my manager, Morgan, is doing Perfectly Posh, which is like bath bombs that my kids love and soaps and all that sort of stuff. So come on out, guys and gals. You're all welcome. We'll have some great wines and some other great stuff. That is Thursday the 13th from 5 to 7. And then on the 27th, which is the fourth week, 5 to 7, is our monthly tasting because of school break. And we'll cover all that again next week. And I'll talk to you then. Cheers.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company with Message in the Bottle.